No. Where you should go, I do not know. Yet I have an idea of what you should do. It is a hard thing to say to you. Ged's silence demanded truth, and Ogion said at last, You must turn around.
Turn around?
If you go ahead, if you keep running, wherever you run, you will meet danger and evil, for it drives you. It chooses the way you go. You must choose. You must seek what seeks you. You must hunt the hunter. Ged said nothing. At the spring of the river Ar, I named you, the mage said. A stream that falls from the mountain to the sea. A man would know the end he goes to, but he cannot know it if he does not turn and return to his beginning, and hold that beginning in his being. If he would not be a stick whirled and whelmed in the stream, he must be the stream itself, all of it, from its spring to its sinking in the sea. You returned to Gaunt. You returned to me, Ged. Now turn clear around and seek the very source and that which lies before the source, and there lies your hope of strength.
There, master? Ged said with terror in his voice. Where?
Ogion did not answer.
If I turn, Ged said after some time had gone by, if, as you say, I hunt the hunter, I think the hunt will not be long. All its desire is to meet me face to face, and twice it has done so, and twice defeated me.
Third time is the charm, said Ogion. Ged paced the room up and down, from fireside to door, from door to fireside.
And if it defeats me wholly, he said, arguing perhaps with Ogion, perhaps with himself, it will take my knowledge and my power and use them. It threatens only me now, but if it enters into me and possesses me, it will work great evil through me.
That is true. If it defeats you.
Yet if I run again, it will as surely find me again, and all my strength is spent in the running.
Ged paced on a while and then suddenly turned, and kneeling before the mage, he said,
I have walked with great wizards and have lived on the Isle of the Wise, but you are my true master, Ogion.
He spoke with love and with a somber joy.
Good,
said Ogion. Now you know it. Better now than never. But you will be my master in the end. He got up and built up the fire to a good blaze and hung the kettle over to boil, and then pulling on his sheepskin coat said, I must go look after my goats. Watch the kettle for me, lad. And when he came back in, all snow-powdered and stomping snow from his goatskin boots, he carried a long, rough shaft of yew wood. All the end of the short afternoon and again after their supper, he sat working by lampfire on the shaft with knife and rubbing stone and spellcraft. Many times he passed his hands along the wood as if seeking any flaw. Often as he worked, he sang softly. Ged, still weary, listened, and as he grew sleepy, he thought himself a child in the witch's hut in Ten Alders village on a snowy night in the firelit dark, the air heavy with herb scent and smoke, and his mind all adrift on dreams as he listened to the long, soft singing of spells and deeds of heroes who fought against dark powers and won or lost on distant islands long ago. There, said Ogion, and handed the finished staff to him. The archmage gave you wood, a good choice, and I kept to it. I meant the shaft for a longbow, but it's better this way. Good night, my son. As Ged, who found no words to thank him, turned away to his alcove room, Ogion watched him and said, Too soft for Ged to hear. Oh, my young falcon, fly well. In the cold dawn, when Ogion woke, Ged was gone. Only he had left in wizardly fashion a message of silver-scrawled runes on the hearthstone that faded even as Ogion read them. Master, I go hunting.
Chapter 8. Hunting. Ged had set off down the road from Realbi in the winter dark before sunrise, and before noon he came to the port of Gaunt. Ogion had given him decent Gauntish leggings and shirt and vest of leather and linen to replace his Oscillian finery, but Ged had kept for his winter journey the lordly cloak lined with Palawi fur. And so cloaked, empty-handed but for the dark staff that matched his height, he came to the land gate, and the soldiers lounging against the carven dragons there did not have to look twice at him to see the wizard. They drew aside their lances and let him enter without question, and watched him as he went on down the street. On the quays and in the house of the Sea Guild, he asked of ships that might be going out north or west to Enlad, Andrad, Aranea, and all answered him that no ship would be leaving Gauntport now, so near sun return, and at the Sea Guild they told him that even fishing boats were not going out through the armed cliffs in the untrusty weather. They offered him dinner at the buttery there in the Sea Guild. A wizard seldom has to ask for his dinner. He sat a while with those longshoremen, shipwrights, and weather workers, taking pleasure in their slow, sparse conversation, their grumbling, Gauntish speech. There was a great wish in him to stay here on Gaunt, and foregoing all wizardry and venture, forgetting all power and horror, to live in peace like any man on the known, dear ground of his homeland, and that was his wish. But his will was other. He didn't stay long in the Sea Guild, nor in the city after he found there would be no ships out of port. He set out, walking along the bay shore, till he came to the first of the small villages that lie north of the city of Gaunt, and there he asked among the fishermen, till he found one that had a boat to sell. The fisherman was a dour old man. His boat, 12 foot long and clinker-built, was so warped and sprung as to be scarce seaworthy, yet he asked a high price for her. The spell of sea safety for a year laid on his own boat, himself, and his son. For Gauntish fishermen fear nothing, not even wizards, only the sea. That spell of sea safety, which they set much store by in the northern archipelago, never saved a man from storm wind or storm wave, but cast by one who knows the local seas and the ways of a boat and the skills of the sailor, it weaves some daily safety about the fisherman. So Ged made the charm well and honestly, working on it all that night and the next day, omitting nothing,